Guys, excited to be in the house of God this morning?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm excited. I don't know if it was the ladies' meeting last night, and you know, I don't know what Cricket is talking about. We had a good time last night, and I just want to say thank you for all of the ladies that were there, and it was just an amazing time, and it was not just an emotional event. We fellowshipped, we ate good, we even broke stuff, or I did, and so all kinds of, I tell you, you guys missed out on some fun stuff last night, but all the guys here have their Beast Feast coming up, so that's a whole different thing in and of itself. But this morning, I'm excited about this message. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, this one's going to be a little bit different message than we usually do, but I'm really excited about it. I've really been just praying over it this last few months, really. It's something that God put in my heart, and I'm excited to share it with you guys this morning. So I want to ask you a question. I want to start out by asking you a question in here. How many of you in here are married? How many in here are married? Even if they're not here today, you're married. Okay. So a lot of this message, at least at the beginning, most of you guys are going to be able to relate to. And even if you're not married, you can still relate. But I tell you, there is something on this earth that is very powerful. There is something this morning, and of course, God is the ultimate power, but what I'm talking about is amongst us in our life. There is something that will make you do things that you never thought you would do, say things you never thought you would say, and it's like, it's so, that video right there just kind of led into it with Pastor Madhu saying that was his honeymoon, and he did things for his new wife he never thought he would do. Well, this morning, what I want to talk to you about, something that is so powerful, is a kiss. Anyone that is married in here, at some point, that person sitting next to you, I tell you, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's an example of our love. Now, Dale, how long have you and Miss Susan been married?
23 years.
Okay, so when you met your wife, when you were pursuing your wife and you'd finally, she had agreed and she agreed to marry you, that kiss, that first kiss, was it a powerful thing in your life? Did it change your life? Who else in here? Cece, Maurice, Miss Cece, when you met Miss Cece, was that kiss a powerful thing that changed your life? It was a powerful thing that changed. I know, a little more excitement there. A little more excitement. He gave a kind of a but you know it was. You know it was. Don't be shy. All right, Mr. Peterson, when you met your wife, that kiss, that first kiss, was it a powerful thing? What? Did it change your world? Did it change your world? Well, it has the power to change our world. And even if you don't want to admit it, we all know that it does. And I think the women know it does, but the men know it does even a little bit more. Because they'll oftentimes do things they never thought they would do. So anyway, I wish I could say that I'm up here this morning to talk about that and have fun with it. But actually, this morning, what I'm going to talk about is another kiss. And it is a kiss that brought so many things with it. It's a kiss that brought destruction and deceit and deception. It's a kiss that took a son away from his mother. It's a kiss that changed everything. And there are kisses in our life. There are touches in our life that can change things in our life. And so what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is not that great kiss, that passion kiss, that love kiss, or that sweet kiss that your son or daughter give you. That's unfortunately not what I'm going to talk about this morning. But what we are going to talk about this morning is we are going to expose the enemy where he is. Last night at the women's conference, the topic of it was transformation. And we talked about how transformation is not change. It is change, but it's more than change. Transformation is a change that you cannot come back from. It's a metamorphosis. One definition says it's a metamorphosis of an animal, meaning it goes from one state to another state and it can't ever go back. It is changed within itself. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that change. We're going to talk about a change that happens. We're going to go back and we're going to look at a kiss. We're going to look at the beginning of relationships in our life. We're going to see what the Word of God says about relationships in our life. Because relationships in our life on this earth are some of the most powerful things that God has given us. God's given us His Word, His presence, His Holy Spirit. But as far as interaction with each other, those relationships that we have can take our life and they can direct them in a direction, good or bad, if we're not aware that it's happening. And so I think we've established, we all know what the good kiss can do. But this morning we're going to talk about the bad. We're going to talk about what the enemy has taken, because God has created everything good and perfect in His will. But who knows here that what God has created for good, the enemy is going to fight to turn it bad. He's going to fight to take it and twist it and make it his. And it is God, and it's through us and through knowing His Word and fellowship with each other that we are going to keep what God created good, good. So this morning, what we are going to look at, and I'm sure most of you in this room know the story of Judas. And we know Judas as the betrayer. There's so many descriptive words and different things that we use to describe Judas and what he did and that there. But I want to look today a little bit deeper into the relationship of Judas. Because see, they didn't just meet one day and he betrayed him and that's what happened. It happened here. There was a relationship there. There was a relationship established. There was a coming together of him, one of the 12, in fellowship and communion, walking with Jesus. So there was a relationship that was formed that Jesus had with 12. And he was one of those 12. And so as we look at this relationship, and the reason that God put it upon my heart is I want us to all this morning look and reflect and really be honest within ourselves of the relationships in our life. Because God created you with a purpose and a destiny. And the thing that is stopping, there's two things that stop us. Our own self, getting in our own way, not accepting, not believing what God has for us, not trusting, not turning it over to Him. And then also another thing is the relationships in our life that we spend the most time with. Now, let me ask you this. Most of you in here have heard, for sin there is a sacrifice, for willful sin there is no sacrifice. Well, we're going to take that and we're going to look at that in these terms, in the terms of Judas' life. See, Judas entered that relationship. He entered the very, from day one, entered that relationship with an agenda, with a goal in mind, with a purpose. More than a purpose different than to serve, to follow the mission that Jesus had in his life. And there are relationships in our life that come into our life with an agenda, with a purpose other than what God created that to be. Now, this morning, I want you, as you sit there, to be honest with yourself about the relationships in your life, the relationships that come in and the relationship that you put out, because it's very important as we move forward in the things of God that we understand the reason God speaks and describes these 12 disciples and describes their characteristics as He describes each one of them. It's because the relationship and the fellowship between us as people is so important, and it can change our life. And so I want to look at Judas here and his relationship with Jesus and how it came about. And you know, Jesus describes and talks about each one throughout different areas in the Bible of his relationship with each of the 12. And so let's look in Luke 6:16, it said Jesus became a traitor, denoting that he was a double crosser, a betrayer. So we see that. And how many in here, when you hear Judas, when you hear just the name Judas, it instantly betrayer. We understand, we know that, but we really need to look at what characteristics brought about, or what in his life brought that about. Now, we are in a time, and there is no one in this room that can't say or wouldn't say that one of the biggest battles we face in our world today is hate. But see, people believe that the hate is the biggest problem. And I just want you to be open today to look at what's deeper than hate. Because it was deeper. It was deeper than just a betrayal. And it was deeper than just a hate. It was deeper than all that in him. See, what's deeper than hate is the motive behind it. It's the darkness. It's the enemy. It's what comes before the hate. We're not born into this world with hate. But it's manipulation, it's deception, it's darkness, it's all of these things when working together build into hate. So what God put on my heart was very important. One of the places we can first begin to understand this, because if you don't have hate in your heart, you don't understand necessarily what it is, what causes it, you know. And anytime I hear, I don't know about you, anytime I hear something, you know, in the media or on the news or on TV, I wonder, man, how could this happen? I don't understand it. And as I was praying over those situations, and lately in the last year and two and three, the horrible things going on, and just praying about it, I said, God, just help me to understand. I don't. And God said, you have to look at where it's coming from. See, it doesn't matter what kind of hate it is. It all starts in the same place. It all starts with the enemy. It all starts with the devil. And it all starts with a lie. With a lie, a deception, and a betrayal. I believe if the world knew more of the story of Judas and knew more of what was in our word that we know, that they would understand that the only hope is through God. That the because what they're going through is a biblical thing, a supernatural thing. It's never as simple as hate or love, as wrong or right. It is a supernatural warfare. And God has given us this so that we can see the path and we can understand how to stop what is going on in our world. So let's look at, and Joe, I'm sorry, I did not give you the scripture here beforehand, but let's look right now. We're going to take John 12:3. I'm going to put that up there and I'm going to come back to it. Just going to keep it up there just a minute. You know, Judas, when Judas met Jesus, he saw things in Jesus. You know, I was listening to this thing this week about Judas, as I was studying, I was researching, and I was listening to different things because I really wanted to understand so I could explain the relationship there. And for anyone who has been in this type of a relationship, some of you may not know, so I'm going to kind of try and describe it here. As Judas comes into this relationship with Jesus, there is intention and motive. And what I mean by that is he sees things in Jesus. He sees things in his ministry. He sees things in his walk. He sees the people drawn to him, the people that come to him. He sees his God-given gifts. He sees the things that are going to change the world. And he sees it and he knows it. He knows it within himself. But the first thing Judas does, what he does in his mind that separates him, that makes him different, is he decides instantly, first thought is, how can I use that to benefit myself? Not how can I become a part of this and how can I move with this, but how can I benefit from this situation? I'm going to tell you, when you have that relationship in your life, it's a very dangerous thing. Look at Judas. This is not my opinion. This is, look at Judas. It is a very dangerous thing. How many of you in here this week, maybe at work, at home, have hurt somebody's feelings, done something, you know, not intentional, but it happens. I tell you, one of the girls this week came up, mama. I'm like, what? You know, you get short, you lose your temper, but it is not intentional. It's not with malice. It's not with, but we all stumble at times. And how many of you in here have gone into a relationship with treachery, deceit, to destroy someone? Let me see. Because if there's any hands go up, I want to know who that is. But anyway, no one have raised their hand on that one, hopefully. So you don't, when you go in, when you make a mistake, when you fall, when you hurt, when you do these things that we all have done, that is our human nature. That, praise the Lord that Christ came and gave his life so that we can ask for forgiveness for that. Because God knows our heart and our true heart. And that's the key to it. in the relationship is the heart, what God has put in there. See, the enemy can lie to your mind. He can speak things into your mind. Even it sounds like your own voice at times, doubting or thinking these thoughts. But God knows the heart. So if you raise your hand that this week there has been some area you've fallen short in, you're right there with all the rest of us. And nobody raised their hand that they're out to destroy anyone. So we're going to look at Judas and we're going to see here what the difference is. See, the other disciples stumbled. They stumble. We can see in every life of the disciples how they stumbled. Even when he says, "You will deny me three times," he said, "No way. Absolutely not. I will do it." And did he do it? He did it. Was it with malice, intent, thought out, planning? Absolutely not. He didn't even believe it when he heard it himself. He said, "There is no way I would do that." How many of us in here have thought, "There's no way I would do that," and then something happened and you did it? See, that is where we stumble. That is where we fall. That is what happens. And that's why God, when we ask for forgiveness and say, "Lord, forgive me," that's where God picks us back up and is faithful and just to forgive us. But see, with Judas, it was not that way. There was a never, "I would never do that." Because in his mind, he always knew what he was after. He always knew the end goal. And last night at the women's meeting, we talked about transformation. And we talked about the five stumbling blocks to transformation. And one thing I wanted to add to that, I don't even remember if I said this last night, but the relationship side of the stumbling block to transformation are the voices that you're hearing from the people around you. The voices that are coming into your life. The motive of the relationship that you are in. It is so vital in your relationship with God that you hear God's voice. But it is also vital that you're honest with yourself. See, it's hard to be honest in a group. It's hard to raise our hand. I was never a hand raiser when they asked a question in church. But it's hard to do that. But be honest with yourself about the relationships in your life. Are they God-given relationships? Are they the relationships that are going to walk you forward in this walk with God and what God has for you? Or are they Judas relationships? Are they the relationships that the enemy put in from the beginning to destroy your life? And so many times we don't even see that until, because that's so good. They're so good at that, at what they're doing. You don't even see it until you're halfway in it. And so that's where I want to talk about this morning. So with Judas, he came into this relationship. He saw Jesus as someone with an amazing gift, an amazing anointing, that people were drawn to him. So he saw a benefit there. What benefits might have he have seen there? You know, the most obvious one, the one that we all think of when we think of Judas, is money, the love of money and what he did. So we know that one. But another motive there could possibly be fear of the outcome of what Jesus is towards the end. And what I meant by that was he saw Jesus' ministry and how it was going. And then he saw the end. What he saw was with the priests, and he saw the end coming. He knew that Jesus, this man, was going to die and go to his Father, but he was not going to be able to benefit from that on this earth. Some of you may call that, "Well, he has no use for him anymore. What am I going to benefit out of it? I benefit more from the silver than I do the relationship. I benefit more this way rather than that way." It was a selfish motive in Judas. It was a motive that even drove him to do things that most of us couldn't even imagine. And so there were three things that he observed, and I had written down, and we talked about, he observed the great crowds flocking to Jesus. And he also knew that Jesus had 12. Now let me say this, of all the people in all the world at that time, and all of the people who did follow and believe in Jesus, if you were one of the 12, only 12, you were part of a special group. And Judas knew that he was one of the 12. And that was a special position that he could hold. And he had pride in that area, in that position. One thing he saw was at times, as the time went on, as Jesus' ministry on this earth came closer and closer to the cross, what he saw is some of Jesus' own people, own family, doubting him, thinking he was crazy. They began to think it was extreme. So he knew there was doubt. He watched. See, he was an observer. He was an observer, and he watched the people. He watched what was going on, and he figured out how he could use that to his benefit. And so let's look here, though, at John 12:3. It says, Mary took and poured very costly oil and anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. And keep going through there. I'm going to keep reading. But one of his disciples, Judas, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was that fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So we know this story. We all know this story. And what was the motive? Again, it comes back to heart. It comes back to motive. Was he really concerned about the poor? No, that's not. See, he took care of the money. He took care of the money. And that was his area of control. And that was his area. So when he said, why have you done this? Why have you not given to the poor? It's not in the words, but it's in what he really was doing behind the scenes. So keep going with that. Okay, and it said, then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and his money was in the box, he used it to take. Okay, keep going to the next one. Okay, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. So what Jesus did right there, and you're going to see this a lot in the relationship of him and Judas, he rebuked him. They call it rebuke. He corrected him. He openly said, back up, you're wrong. He stood up for Mary. And he was right in what he was saying, but Judas, with the pride in him, did not take that correction. And actually, keep going there. It says, for the poor you have with me, but me, I will keep going through the next one. Okay. Now a great many of Jews knew that he was there and they came to him, but they might be. Okay. So I'm going to go to the next scripture here. But as we see this, what we see is Jesus' rebuke of him and him defending Mary. And so as Judas did not take that very well, we're going to look at what it says in the scripture. Let me get to and pull it right here. On my phone, I have so many notes I've gone through here. It is going to be in John 13. So go to John 13. And verse... let's see. John... let's see. I have so many notes in my phone from last night's meeting to this meeting that... Let's go, let's just start, I tell you what. Let's go to John 6. John 6, and I will go ahead and turn to that. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm going to skip. Let's go to Mark 14. Okay, go to John 13:20. John 13:3-20. I'm going to just keep changing it on you this morning. Okay, so Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and he had given and come to God and he was going to God, keep going. All right, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the feet of the disciples and wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken the garments and sat again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You can call me teacher and Lord and say well, for so I am. If then you, the Lord, the teacher, have washed your feet and also have washed one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. For assuredly I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Do not speak concerning all of you, I know who I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." Now, can we go to the NIV translation? Because there's some pretty powerful words. And the reason I went through all of that, I had read all of that in my notes, and I was trying to pick out the one scripture, but we read it all. And so what it is he had rebuked Judas when he was with Mary. So it was still stinging a little bit from that account. So we are here and we see him there at the last moment, at the Last Supper. And let's read the scripture again. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. So that, look at that right there. He says, I am not referring to all of you. I know who I've chosen, but I'm not referring to all of you. Go on to the next one. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. One of you out of the 12, one of you is going to betray me." Next scripture. His disciples stared at one another at a loss of which of them that he meant. I tell you what, I know this. If I was sitting at that table and I was sitting there, you would not want to be the one that he was talking about. But the very fact that they did not know who it could be and were concerned and were amongst themselves talking shows that their heart was not with malice and intent. One of them, the disciple who Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to his disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." So one saying, "Go ask him. I don't want to ask him. You ask him." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him and said, "Lord, who is it?" So he was the one that kind of leaned back. You can kind of see this as a whisper, kind of saying, "Hey, tell me who it is." All right. And Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give the piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread in the dish, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon. Okay, so I saw this. Go on to the next scripture. It says, as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly. Now, I'm going to say this. Go back that one scripture before this. When he is sitting there and he said, "Who is it? Who is it?" And in one translation it says, when he answered him here, "It will be the one who I dip this in the oil and give it to him." And then he dipped it in the oil and gave it to him. It goes on to say that they were confused still about who it is. When he gave Judas the bread, they thought that there was a different meaning, that he was telling him, "Go do this." But see, this was between Jesus and Judas at this point. This was between Jesus and Judas. You would think by saying that, that's pretty understandable there. I'm going to do this and this and this, and then I'm going to hand it to this guy, and you're going to know that's who it is. But he couldn't see that. So what that shows us is this. Jesus didn't sit at that table and call him out, but what he did do is he let him know that he knew. He let him know that he knew. But see, Jesus knew that he was on this earth for a purpose and for a destiny. And he trusted God in all things, in all God's ways, that he was working it together to get him to that point of destiny. So then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon. The next one. As soon as Judas took the bread, you notice here it said, Satan entered him. There are multiple times when we talk about the life of Jesus where Judas where it says Satan entered him. And so if you look at this scripture, it says what you are about to do, do quickly. Let me ask you this. Look at it this way. When Jesus said that, it's very important to note that right before that, he said Satan entered him. To me, what that spoke to is he didn't just see the person, one of the 12 that he loved because he loved everyone. He recognized that it was Satan through him. See, that's why that's there. That's not there just thrown in there for no reason. He recognized what it was within him, Satan within him. And I believe that where it says, what you are about to do, do quickly. When he spoke that to Judas, he was speaking that to the devil. He was saying, what you are about to do, do quickly. He recognized that within him. I shared this at another service. You know, one of the things that God has shown me, one of the things is that came out of my transformation process was, people don't do the things they do because they're evil. They do it because they're weak. And what I mean by that is this. There are a lot of evil things in the world and people who do evil things. But they are weak people who allow the devil to come into their heart, come into their life, and use them on this earth to do horrible, horrible things. And that's why it's so important that we as a group of believers reach out and spread the word of God and what God, what our God, what Jesus is about and what he is trying to bring to this world. And I tell you this. Look at the relationships that you have in your life. Really evaluate. And I'm going to go here. I have a few. We have about 10 minutes left. What I want to look at is John 6, 67, 71. I promise that one's it. John 6, 67, 71. And yes. Let me see. Okay. John 6, 67 through 71. Okay. So, let's start there. We're going to read that really quickly. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. See, there he says, is a devil. He knew, and I can't stress them enough, God knows. God knows what's going on in our life. And God sees the relationships we have. And God sees how the enemy uses people, people we love, people we trust. But God knows. But the really important thing is that we become very sensitive to the voice of God, that we become very sensitive to those godly relationships in our life that tell us, you know what, this relationship might be a toxic thing for you. See, God has put godly people in our lives because they can be honest and see things that we can't see. If you go, or someone is coming to you, or if you go into a relationship with anything, any type of motive, any type of deceit, any type of treachery, that relationship is not going to last and it's not going to work because that is not the relationship that God created and designed for you to have. And I have to say this. Who we are with in our life is as important as the choices we make in our life. Who we spend our time with. How many times have we seen good, good people, especially a lot of times we see it in young people, start out with great, great promise in their life. And they always have that great promise. It's always there. But they have chosen relationships in their life that the enemy has positioned strategically in their life. And it takes them down a path that they never should have gone down. never should have gone down. That potential is not gone. What God created for them is not gone, and they can still fulfill the will of God in their life. But what is the main thing that has to change? The relationship. It's the relationship in their life that was placed in their life. And, you know, we say this a lot. We say, well, I just want to help this person. But yet you're as weak because of this circumstance and relationship as they are. You're not going to be able to help this person. Only God can help this person. And if it is destroying you in the process of helping them, you have to get out of that relationship. You have to give it over to God. No matter how much you love them, no matter who they are, no matter if they are a family member, a friend, you have to give them to God. If it is destroying you, if it is pulling you away from God, if it is making you question the things of God, that is the relation, that is the toxic relationship that the enemy has placed in your life. You know, oftentimes we see things so simply. We see things as, you know, this happened for this reason because this happened with this. But really, everything comes down to one thing. And it's the one thing that we as Christians know and we see more and more and more and more. And that's everything goes back to the supernatural. We are here on this earth because God created us and put us here with a purpose and a destiny. But that purpose and destiny is bigger than us being here on this earth. See, there is a supernatural plan already in play for every one of our lives in this room. There's a supernatural plan already in place for this country. We talked about this last night. We all know the scripture where it says, you know, where evil is, grace abounds even more. Where there is evil, grace abounds more. But what happens? Let me ask you this. What happens, especially in our country, when we take God out of it? When we push God out? When we decide God's not going to be a part of this? See, we have our own free will, and we push God out. And when we say as a country or as a people that you are not welcome here, how can we expect grace to abound when we reject Him? That's why those who stand on the promises of Jesus and who follow Jesus have to really just intercede and pray. Because we know where this evil and darkness abounds, grace abounds so much more. And there will be those who will turn away and reject. It's in the Word. It will get dark. It will get very dark. It's in the Word. It will get worse. The ones that we love, the ones in our life, the enemy is going to get hold of some of those. And no matter how much we pray, they have their free will. It is going to be ugly. It's going to get ugly. Just like in battle, there are good, wonderful people who fall. There are good, wonderful people who die. There are people we love. There are people we have known our entire lives who will decide and make the choice to turn to the enemy and not to God. To say, God, you have no place. And see, Judas, I tell you this, there's a difference when you look at the relationship here in the 11 and Judas. There's a thing that makes the difference. And the biggest thing is this, and we see this in our world today. The 11 were sold out to God. The 11 messed up. They made mistakes. But their heart, their motive, they were sold to the mission of God. They left. He said, leave your possession, follow me. They were sold out to God. But the one that came in, that worked his relationship and was a part of this 12, he wasn't sold out to God from the beginning. He was not sold out to God. He had his own motives, his own intentions, his own purpose there. And see, if we do not look at the relationships in our life and see, why is this relationship in my life? Is this a godly relationship? Is this a relationship that the enemy has placed here to destroy me? Or is this a relationship that God has placed here to help me grow? Then when the enemy is speaking doubt into your life, when you hear doubt through your own thoughts, when even sometimes circumstances in this world gets hard and you're seeing these things come down and crash around you, that one relationship that the devil placed in your life could be the very relationship that pushes it over the edge and destroys what God has intended for your life. See, if that one is there, you can have 20 great relationships or 11 great relationships in your life, but if there is one that from the beginning was only there to destroy you, then when that moment happens, when all things that the enemy tries to do, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when your world is crumbling around you, if that one relationship is not out of your life, the enemy will use that one relationship to take you down. The importance of getting just the one out, of understanding how strong that is. See, God is stronger than the devil. There's no question about that. There's no question that God is stronger. But there's also no question that we are weak. There is no question that we are weak. And there is no question in the fact that relationships affect our life in a powerful way. So I want to start coming to a close here, but as we look at the ministry of Jesus and the relationship of Judas, we know that as Judas went in to plot to turn Jesus over, to set in to what we see play out through the crucifixion, but as Judas went into that, he just decided, you know what? This is what I'm going to do, and went to them. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy. He went in with this heart of destruction, with a motive, with a purpose. He said, this is it. Ha ha. I'm going to do this. And you have no idea. You may think you know, but you don't know. So he went to them and he went with a plan and a purpose enough that they came up with this plan for a signal to know who it was, a signal to say. So it was a well thought out, played out plan of attack to deceive and to win. And that's what it was about for them, to get what they wanted. And what was that signal? I don't wanna live in fear. What God intended to be a beautiful thing, a symbol of affection and love and a kiss. What he intended to be, this wonderful symbol, the devil took it and made it, in this situation, that symbol of saying, when you see me do this, this is your cue. And so what did he do? What did he do? He kissed him. He kissed him. In our lives, God intends great things for us. But you mark my words, no matter how good it is, no matter how pure it is, the devil will find a way to twist it. The devil will always find a way in your life to twist it. So as we come together, and Joe, if we can turn up the music, we are going to pray together as we leave today. We are going to pray together for discernment. Discernment today, because God just put on my heart, discernment is going to be important today. Last night, the ladies and I talked about transformation. Transformation being a true change, a God change, a change only God can do, that you cannot come back from. Who wants that kind of change in their life? You want something for God to do that is so, so radical that you can't ever be the same. I know God did it in my life. God did it for me 2 years ago. There were things in my life that happened that were so hard and so breaking, and so the enemy just really attacked with all he had. But to God's glory, what it did was God took it and God said, I win. I get the victory. And see, as they were taking Jesus to that cross that day, as Judas deceived him, as Judas turned him over, as Judas did what he had set out to do, that motive of self-gain, as he did that, and they thought they had won, and the devil thought he had won. See, what they didn't know is God. And God knew. And that action he took, that he thought he was so smart, what it did is it brought Jesus to the cross. And it saved all of us. So see, if there is something in your life where the enemy is trying to defeat you, and he says, I'm winning, you're not going to overcome this, you're not going to overcome drugs, you're not going to overcome alcohol, you are not going to get your children back, they're never going to be saved. When the enemy is doing that, God knows better. And those very plans that they set out to destroy you, God is ready to show them. I'm God. And I can change this situation, and only I can. But we have to really be sensitive to that in our life. And the first way we do that is to be honest. So, Joe, if we can really kind of crank it up here. What I want to do is, in this altar call, I want to right now, just us come together with belief, understanding, and hope. Because that's what it takes. It takes faith of like people together here to show that there is hope for us in our future, in our life. And that we as people here come before God and we just say, you are our hope. I don't care what's going on in my life. I don't care what's happening in my life. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care who the enemy has placed in my life to destroy me. I don't care what happens, because God has the final say. God has the final word. You know when Jesus hung on that cross and he ascended to heaven, the devil knew he had lost. That what was set out to be this great plan was completely destroyed. And what God said was going to happen, happened. And I believe that for every person in this room, that what God put you on this earth for, no matter what the devil is doing right now, that is what's going to happen. God is going to get the final say. I know with me in my life that the enemy was convinced that I was at a point that I was dead, that the enemy and the torment and the turmoil was going to kill me. And you know what happened? Through a miraculous miracle of God, God said, you cannot touch her. And so the plan that the enemy had worked and worked and worked and worked really my whole life, in one day, everything changed. God brought back in my life something that was never fully there. I can tell you from experience, God can do what we can't even imagine possible. God can bring us back from death. God can bring us back from the brink. And not only can God save us, but God can change everything in our life more than we can even imagine. We can end up doing things for God, through God, and allow God to use us that we have never could even imagine in our life. And what does it take? It takes getting those relationships out of our life, and it takes going to God for true transformation. So if we could all stand here together as we dismiss today, I just want to pray with you guys. And I want to pray that God give you a spirit of discernment, God. God, we just ask that you give us a spirit of discernment, God. Give us something that we ourselves cannot do. We cannot sometimes discern those things in our life that the devil has placed there to destroy us, God. But we just ask you now, God, to show us what is in there that is going to destroy us. And God, we make a commitment right now to you, God. When you reveal that to us, we will get it out, God. We will get it out of our lives, Lord, because we know and we believe your word. And when that happens, when that is out of our life, and we open up to you, God, and we cry out to you and we say, God, thank you. I'm ready for true transformation. I don't ever want to go back. Not only can I not, but I don't want to go back, God. I pray for, God, transformation in this room. Transformation in the lives of your people, God. Transformation like you gave me, God. God, I know that I would not be here without you. God, I know I am weak. God, I confess it to you. And I know only through you and trusting in you can I have any kind of strength. So God, we just ask you now, just break, Lord, the bondage of thinking we can do it ourselves, God. Because we know it is a bondage. It's a bondage to think that your will is able to be accomplished by us, because it's not. God, I just pray, Lord, that you break those things out that are stopping true transformation in our life, God. God, we just give this over to you today. In Jesus' name, God, we just pray for a transformation like we have never had before, because that's what it takes. It takes never going back. And we don't ever want to go back in this room for what God has for this church, for these people that are here this morning. We don't ever want to go go back. We're tired. We're tired of the same thing. We're tired of reaching what we think is success only to start right back over. That is not good enough, God, for us. Only you are good enough. Only your will is good enough in our life. So if you are at a place right now in your life where you are ready and you are ready to say, God, I have to have transformation. I have to have it. I don't have a choice. I want you to come right now to the altar. I want you to just walk up here and say, God, I know that I'm weak. I know that I am weak, but I'm going to show you God as a step, because that's what it is when you come. As hard as it is, it's a step of faith. It is a step of faith saying, God, I don't like to walk forward, but this is me showing you I have faith in you. This is my symbol. This is my way to show you a greater God, that I'm stepping in faith, in action towards you, because I want transformation. Every person at this altar is saying, I want transformation now, and I'm not going to take what the enemy has put in my life. I will not be destroyed. I will not live the same way. I'm going to get those relationships out. I'm going to get that negativity out. And I'm going to walk towards you, God, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to do it in Jesus' name. And I believe that it will happen for you today. I know it will happen for you today. And the reason I know it is because God did it for me. And I know that if God did it for me, He can do it for you. What God did for me is I was my own worst enemy. My mind and the thoughts that I had within myself, I was my own worst enemy. And the enemy sent relationships in my life from childhood to back up what the enemy was saying. And the devil took all of that and used it and abused it and brought it all together. But what happened is it took a breaking of everything in me. But when it happened, it was God. Because it could not have ever been me. And when it happened, I can never go back. I can never be the same. So I'm going to pray with you right now. Everybody at this altar, and if we have any prayer team that wants to come up and pray individually, we are going to pray right now where two or three are gathered together. So God, right now, I just pray for with everyone at this altar, God, they have stepped in faith as their symbol today, God. As their symbol to you, God, and say, I'm going to push it. I may not feel like it, but I'm going to walk to that altar as hard as it is, and I'm going to show you, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for transformation. I'm ready for it in my life. This is me, God, coming to you and saying, break what is in me and make it you, God. Break what is in me and make it you. I know your word. I believe your word. I will have the change that you have promised through knowing you. Through closer relationship with you, God, I just cry out and I just say, God, take anything. Search within me, God. If you find any fault, if you find anything in there that needs to be out, God, I believe in Jesus' name that you are taking it out today, right now, that it is taken out, that any motive you have, that any thoughts you have, and even those you don't even know you have, are taken out today. We will not have any evil spirit, any Judas spirit, any deception spirit in us today. No more. It is taken out. Our heart is for you, God, and only for you. Our purpose here in this church, in this community, in our family, is to follow you in Jesus' name. It will happen for every person in this room. The breakthrough that you have been praying for will happen. It is promised because you have stepped in faith today. Faith without works is dead, and that's why we make the commitment to God today. We've stepped up in faith. But now what we're going to do is we're going to commit. We're going to commit this morning to the work. Now, everyone in here's work is going to be different, but what we commit to, God, is to just cry out to you in those weak moments and say, whatever that work is, God, I am open and I am willing and I am going towards that work. So you've already done the first step. You've had the faith and you've showed your faith. But now we will do the work, God. We will commit. When we don't want to step, we will step. When we don't want to go, we will go. When we know it is you, we will follow. Even if we are uncomfortable, even if we are embarrassed, even if it is hard. Because God, what you have for us, God, you are all that matters in our life. And God, I just pray over every person in this building today, and those who could not be here but whose heart is in here. Every person at this altar today, God, today what is going to happen is, I believe this, God is going to use you in your area of influence to change the lives of the people around you. You will be the one. And you know why you'll be the one? Because God has chosen you, and you have answered the call by stepping out in faith. You don't know how big that is. So many people cannot step out in that faith and say, you know what? I follow God. I don't care what you do, but I follow God. So because of that faithfulness, that continued faithfulness you have to God, God will use you to change the lives of everyone around you. And I know this, compared to the world out there, it's a small group in this room, but it only takes one person. It only takes God being able to use one person for everything to change. Look at the people throughout our history that God used to change things. They were not perfect people. They all had stories. They all had things in their life. As a matter of fact, most of them had hard things in their life. Some of them led a bad life themselves. They did bad things, but God changed them. There is nothing you are going through today that God cannot change and use you in. There is not one person in this room that God cannot change and use. I don't care what it is, because when you step in faith and you cry out to God and you say, I am here, forgive me, and I want change and I want true transformation. I don't want to just change today and have to deal with the junk tomorrow. I want to be truly transformed. When you did that today, what you said is you set a new precedent. You set a new level in God. You're ready to go there. So God, I just thank you today, God. I just pray with all of these here, God, today. I just speak in faith as we are all here, God, just standing before you today, God. We're just so humbled, God, by everything you're doing, God. And I just want to say thank you for every person in this room, God. And I just pray if they don't see the destiny and the will that you have for their life, God, that you will bring others into their life to show them their destiny and their purpose in your kingdom, God. I believe that every person in this room and in this building that wants transformation and has cried out to you will receive it. And they will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.